One of the largest priorities of the 2024 Trump campaign, as it was back in 2016, 2020, was, right, immigration. Now that Trump will be returning to the Oval Office, undocumented and even documented immigrants have expressed concerns, asking questions as a reaction to Trump's immigration rhetoric. Our first guest today is an immigration attorney here in New Jersey who's here to explore the various elements of this issue and how the immigrant community has been reacting and responding. She is senior associate attorney with the firm, the Shulman Law Group, Kathy Balleron. How are you today, Kathy?
Good, good. Thank you. How are you?
Great to have you here. Learn more about the immigration legal services of the Shulman Law Group. It's s-lawgroup.com. We do have that link at our homepage as well. We'll get into a little detail, too, as well about the services that the firm provides. Just as a starting point, Kathy, as in your experience, obviously not revealing personal details, names, things like that, but what's been the general reaction of clients you've consulted with over these past few months as a reaction to what Donald Trump has been saying about what his intentions are with immigrants?
I would say the overall reaction is fear. Fear from everyone, basically. You know, whether they're documented, we've had, you know, undocumented, even some citizens fearful for their family members. So we've gotten many, many phone calls immediately after the elections until now, just being bombarded with questions about how it's going to affect them, how it's going to affect their family, what they can do to prepare, things like that.
I would certainly assume, too, with, I guess they're called mixed families, where there is a legal resident amidst the family of undocumented residents. That's got to be a whole different level of concern there.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, the majority, I believe, are mixed families. You know, there's a lot of citizens who are now married to someone who's undocumented. They have citizen children. And some of them have been here 5, 10, 15, 20 years and have been unable to, you know, obtain legal status. And now they're entering another, you know, Trump administration, which they already survived the first one. So there definitely is fear.
You have to think, too, that survival came about only because the things Trump tried out of haste, ignorance, combination of the two were successfully legally challenged in a variety of courts, including his Supreme Court. So the second time around, maybe they either be more fine-tuned or more reckless. Just for the person listening, give a brief overview of what the deportation process legally involves, because I've seen people appear to expect it's going to be some kind of instantaneous flip of a switch that they expect to have starting on January 20th.
So that's not the case at all. There still is due process that is afforded to everyone. For the majority of deportation cases, it involves actually getting served what's called a notice to appear. That informs the person that they have to appear in court. And then they have to go for what's first called a master calendar hearing. That's like just a preliminary hearing where they introduce themselves and tell the judge what they're doing. And then they have to be set for a final hearing, an individual hearing. Depending on which judge, which court, the hearing can be anywhere from 3 to 4 months, or it can be 5 to 6 years. There's some judges in Newark right now scheduling for 2029. We've heard of some instances of 2030 already. not in Newark, I believe in New York. So it's a long process for most. Now, under the Biden administration, they did implement a faster track for the recent arrivals. So anyone who entered basically like post-2021, they are on a faster track. They're supposed to be they should have their hearings within, I believe it's like 365 days or so, basically around a year. But they still are afforded the opportunity to go to court, present their case. And even if they lose, they still have the ability to appeal their case, which an appeal for someone who's not detained can take anywhere from a year to 2.5 years. So they're not, you know, even if they get ordered deported in court, they're not picked up by ICE and shipped off. It's, you know, that's just not happening. And I think that's the misconception. So a lot of people out of fear, don't go to court because they think, oh, if the judge orders me deported, they're going to, you know, put me on a plane today. So you have a lot of people not going because they don't know the process.
Only apparently Greg Abbott down in Texas does that.
Yeah. but then there's also something called, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, expedited removal. Expedited removal was initially just kind of for the border cases, people who have been here for less than a certain amount of time and are caught within, like, a certain area of the border. Through the first administration for Trump, he expanded the usage of expedited removal. And what it is basically a deportation officer or a CBP officer can authorize this deportation without the person seeing a judge. So it's that's why it's usually used to be restricted to the border. But under Trump, he tried ordering an expansion of that. And basically, people had to prove that they've been here for more than 2 years. And if they were unable to prove that, they could fall into a possible expedited removal. Honestly, I didn't really encounter it too often during the first administration. I'm going to assume he'll try to bring something like that back. But that's the only case where, you know, unfortunately, there is not much due process. They can be, you know, ordered removed, usually at the border, and sent, you know, back almost immediately.
Just to give a statistic to back up what Kathy just said, the Biden administration just hit a 10-year high of deportations in 2024. Now, we're talking, let's go with, I mean, the numbers range between 11 and 13 million. Let's go with the lowball number. People are expecting 11 million undocumented immigrants to be deported. 2024, 10-year high, a total of 271,484. But if through some miracle 11 million people could be deported, several immigration organizations and even the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that tally, that cost, to be somewhere around the $88 to $90 billion range. And that's about the entire budget of the Department of Homeland Security. So when you look at the reality versus the rhetoric, you kind of get two different pictures. We're talking with Kathy Balaron, who's Senior Associate Attorney with Shulman Law Group, s-lawgroup.com, their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Along with the blatant policy changes and threats of immediate deportation, the Trump administration is also planning to reform the various visa programs. That's got to give a whole nother level of uncertainty to a lot of immigrants, documented and undocumented.
Yeah. During the first administration, there were a lot of changes to employment visas. I personally don't handle employment visas, so I didn't really deal with that too much. But there was also discussion of, you know, changing the family-type visas where, you know, siblings won't be able to petition siblings anymore, restricting petitioning of a U.S. citizen to a parent or even children. So, you know, there's a lot of talk. I don't foresee it actually coming true. Hopefully I'm right. you know, because he did threaten it during the first administration and nothing was changed. So hopefully that does stay around. But for employment-based visas, I know there was, you know, stricter guidelines, policies put in place. So although he didn't change them completely, the requirements did become more difficult. And then there's a lot of delays in the process. So there are things that the administration can do without changing the law, but making things a lot harder for people to obtain legal status.
As many probably well know, New Jersey is one of 23 states in America that declared themselves to be sanctuary states. Does that give any added protection to an undocumented immigrant?
So in reality, no. I mean, basically what it does is it doesn't allow the local police and police departments to, you know, detain someone for being undocumented or to turn someone over. However, it still does allow ICE to go into the facilities and place an ICE detainer on someone. And once they're released from the criminal hold, they will not be released, and they could still be placed into ICE hold and turned over to ICE. So even though New Jersey is a sanctuary state, ICE is still there, ICE is active, and ICE is still detaining people. It's just not the local authorities that are doing it.
Now, we'll approach this in two different levels for the documented and the undocumented. For right now, in the here and now, what should an undocumented immigrant be seeking to do legally?
First thing would be speak to an attorney and see if they have any legal remedies. And to stay away from notarios, people who are not authorized to practice law, who a lot of times give false promises, and they're going to help them, and they're going to get them a work authorization, but they don't tell them the end game, which usually results in the person ending up in deportation proceedings. So I think right now is a time to, you know, speak to a professional who specializes in immigration law and see if there's anything that they can do, or is it best to just kind of sit it out and wait. And, you know, I tell all my clients, just stay out of trouble, follow the laws, go to work, pay your taxes, do everything you need to do, just stay out of trouble.
And for the documented immigrant, what should they be making sure is correct as far as personal information, status, anything in between? Because I can imagine some fearing that a rushed process, some people would be unjustly deemed eligible for deportation.
It's always possible. You know, a lot of them is usually when they fall into some kind of criminal scheme. You know, an arrest for a DUI, you know, something like that could land them in ICE's hold, whether they're documented or undocumented. But, you know, there are certain crimes, like a DUI for someone who's documented, it does not make them deportable. Can ICE mess that up and put them in proceedings anyhow? Yeah, and then they would need, you know, an attorney to kind of go in and settle and resolve that issue. What else? You know, someone who's documented during this time should always maintain proof that they're documented, you know, so that they don't fall into the questions of, you know, a rogue police officer who's threatening to call ICE or something like that, you know, because it has been rumored to happen. And always, you know, have a family member have information available to them, you know, about their immigration status, a copy of their green card, or at least their A number. An A number is the number assigned to someone by USCIS or by immigration. So that's information that if anything were to happen and someone gets detained, the family members should have that information so that it makes it easier to talk to an attorney and find out what's going on, where they're detained, track them down, things like that.
And for you listening, this sounds intimidating to you. That's why the Shulman Law Group is here, to make it more, let's call it, user-friendly, and you can understand what is your responsibility and the ways that they can help you attain success in that responsibility, legally and in all aspects. So what's honest, what's truthful about your current situation, what could be strengthened about your situation, they can address it all at the Shulman Law Group. You can find out more about their services at s-lawgroup.com. She is their senior associate attorney, Kathy Balleron. Kathy, thank you so much for the education, because rhetoric can poison a lot of people's mind, cause fear where it's not necessary, and make people do the worst thing, which is try to avoid a situation rather than get proactive about it. And I think your words will change a lot of people in that regard. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.